Father, we come before you from the outset in prayer and just ask that you would lead us and guide us today. We thank you for the encouragement of your word. We pray that we would be devoted wholly unto your word and to the person of Christ. We thank you for saving our souls by your shed blood, by thy son's shed blood. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. As we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it's good to be with you. We're in chapter 4, as I mentioned, in verse 12 to 16. And we're going to look now at a little bit at verse 14 today. And before we leave verse 13, I'd like to just remind you of Nehemiah and how it was speaking of the word was given out, the sense of it was given, that they might understand. And that in Psalm 46, we're told to be still and know that I am God. So we can think in verse 13 of being devoted to reading and exhortation and to teaching, that this is something that we need to have publicly done in the local churches and the local assembly of our Savior. And we think also in not only public, but the private time that we have alone with our Savior around His Word. And we can think in Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all eagerness or readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now we see here the attitude of the Bereans, that they received the word with eagerness, with readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily. Two wonderful points that we can take application from, and from the example of the Bereans, that we should have eagerness to receive the word, and that we should search the scriptures and see that we understand them in the light of what God has said. So back in 1 Timothy 3, or 4 rather, moving down to verse 14, we now look at the next exhortation. Our third exhortation in the application of good doctrine here is neglect not the gift that is in thee. We see here, neglect not. In 2 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift. What a comparison. Instead of neglecting the gift that the Lord has given each person in the body of Christ, but we're not to neglect it, but we're to stir it up. There's different gifts among the body of Christ. Whatever your gifts are or gifts, stir it up. Don't neglect it. And it goes on to say, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Presbytery is the word we see for the leadership. Presbytery is the word in the Greek. Also we see where the word elders is derived from. That's the leadership, the shepherds of the local assembly. So here it's not that the hands gave the gift, but we see that here that they pointed it out. They recognized the gift. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by or through prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. We see that even as today, that the spiritual leaders in a local assembly should be ready and looking to recognize gifts that is in the various believers, to recognize that gift and to point it out. That's one of the areas of a spiritual leader, is to be discerning on things. And we think here of this great exhortation, not to neglect the gift. The scripture tells us, as we thought of in verse 6, of how Christ is the one in whom we're nourished up in the words of faith, and of good doctrine, Christ being the head of the church, this is where nourishment comes from. Is in Colossians 2, it tells us that the bands and the joints are ministered unto or nourished by the head. Christ being the head. Think of the body, of how without a head you could not survive. If a man or woman or an animal is decapitated, they have no life in the body. Nourishment comes from the head. We see that Christ being the head of the church, this is where we receive our nourishment. So let's not neglect the gift. We as different parts of the body have been given gifts, as in Ephesians, when we see in chapter 4, our brother Mark looked at that passage of how he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. God in his sovereignty has declared that we are to serve him, and he has given us different abilities, and that he has chosen that is his way and his order, that his son is the head of the church, yet he has declared us as members of the body of Christ that we are to function and to work in unity and unison with the rest of the body and exercise our spiritual ability. Then we go down to the next exhortation in verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You know, over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, Paul here, as he's nearing the end of his life, he exhorts Timothy. He told him to make full proof of thy ministry. The passage that we're in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, when it says, give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. It should be evident that your ministry will be made full proof of, that you're so busy with it, that you're so engulfed in it, that you're so given over to what the Lord has given you to do, that it will be made evident to others. It says here that thy profiting may appear to all. And we see that this is a great thing when someone has been sold out to the Lord and they're giving themselves wholly unto it, and it profits those that are around them. It is glorifying to the Lord. They are doing that which the Lord has given them to do. That thy profiting may appear to all. You know, there's no question that different ones have certain abilities, and sometimes some of us believers may be uncertain of what our ability is. But until you know just exactly what the Lord has gifted you in, get involved with the things of the Lord, and it will become evident which things come with more ease, that which you have a desire for, that which you may have a passion for, a burden for. It will become evident. So in this exhortation, it begins with the word meditate. Practice. Attend carefully to, Mr. Newberry says, upon these things. We need to meditate. This is something in itself that you could say is a lost art. We're such a rush-about world. We're in such a busy world that we do not take time to simply meditate. And I'm not saying this in the line of this New Age movement and all this psychology and all these kind of mind games that people and false religions are playing, and all the age of so-called wisdom. I'm not speaking of the wisdom of the world, but I'm saying meditate upon the Word of God. That's what we have here in verse 15. Meditate upon. The question would be, where is your mind? Where is your mind? We think of how Paul there in Acts chapter 26, of how he made it clear just where his mind was, and that he had a clear mind and a sound mind. Acts 26, verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, but this thing was not done in a corner. Now we see here that King Agrippa is asked, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What was Paul's attitude? He said, I have a mind that is not mad. But he said, I have a words of truth and soberness. This means a sound mind. The things of God, to meditate upon it, gives wisdom. A sound mind. You know, in Psalm 111, it says, holy and reverent is thy name. Is his name, speaking of our Lord. Holy and reverent is his name. And it goes on to say, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So that reverential fear for our Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And by reading and meditating upon the Word of God, practicing this, carefully attending to these things that we're told to give attendance to, reading and exhortation, doctrine, we can bring ourselves, by the leading of the Spirit, we can become closer to Him. We can be more devoted to Him as we meditate upon these things. As we're told to meditate, we can think also of how we put our mind upon these things. We think in the Scripture that the word mind and heart, these two areas are told to be synonymous. We see in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts of the heart. When we think of thoughts, we think of our mind, don't we? But it says that He's the discerner of the thoughts of the heart. And also we think of, as we looked at Elijah a few weeks ago, we think of how when he was underneath that juniper tree and he was down and discouraged, we see the need of the Word of God there. We see how he was brought bread and water. We think of the Word of God. We think of bread and water. We think of substance. We need that when we're discouraged. We need the substance of the Word of God. So when we find ourselves under that juniper tree, we need to meditate upon the Word of God. We see examples such as Psalms three times over. It said, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. The psalmist is speaking of being fixed upon the Savior and upon His Word. Words of comfort is found in Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Again, meditating upon His Word. And we could turn over and think of these wonderful words in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Speaking of prayer and supplication, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That is six whatsoevers found in Philippians 4:8. things that are pure and honest and just. This is what we need to think on. Our mind should be as the mind of Christ. We that know Him, we could think a little further on this in the will of the Lord, perhaps tomorrow. Father, we thank You again for this chance to think about Your Word just a little for a few minutes. Coming apart from the things of the world, we just pray that You would help us to memorize Your Word, that we would seek to do that, that we would hide Thy Word in our hearts. We thank You that we have peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. We thank You again for our Savior, for what He has done for us. In Christ's name, amen.